Okay, thank you, Mark. Well, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be with you tonight. I know Heather and Stan are not here, but and there's multiple churches that are represented here this evening, but it really is an honor to be here. So thank you for opening your hearts and the church to me. And I'm so excited because as I started like a month ago contemplating about this time, I felt like at different points God started dropping things into my spirit. And so I come carrying quite something that I am very passionate about, because as I sat down to prepare, it was like all the little bits and pieces that I'd felt God putting in my heart, I could suddenly see this picture come together. And so it's with great excitement that I'm sharing with you this evening. And if I had to give this sermon a title, it would be this: It's Time. To the people of Glenridge, The Rock, whichever church you are from, here at Durban, in this time, I want to tell you that I really believe that God's word to us this evening is, it is time. Now, I need you to know that I actually hadn't listened to any video that Tyron had put out there, but as I sat there, I thought, oh my goodness, Tyron, yes, preach it, because there were so many things that he was saying that I'd felt God also put on my heart. So I'm really excited, and I'm praying that God will confirm things and God will put within you some fire and some passion this evening as we look at one or two things of It Is Time. Now, I'm going to just start by being very open with you and confess that I can be quite judgmental at times, okay? So I love to live a very ordered life. I'm one of those people that go to the stationery shop and I fall for like the beautiful color pens and all the nice things like that. Maybe it's because I live in a house of boys and they couldn't care about anything like that. So at the beginning of every year when the school sends out the calendar, I get all my color pens. Every child has a different color. I fill in my diary. I fill in the calendar. It makes me so excited. I look at my week ahead. I know where everyone's going. It thrills me. I love being organized. And I look at some people that rock up at like some sports events or whatever it might be, and they're late. And they don't have the right gear. And they're like still having their porridge. And I'm like, come on, get it together. Be organized. You've knew this was coming. What's going on? And the Lord has been humbling me the last 3 weeks, I must tell you. There have been Wimble boys that have been running around Durban North looking for lifts to catch to Redham because they missed the bus and their parents are nowhere to be found. There have been people that have been phoning me saying, we see your son is sitting outside Woolworths in McCurtain Road. Is he fine? Have you forgotten him? Has he left? Did you leave him somewhere? There have been countless things that have gone on in the last 3 weeks where I feel like I'm losing my marbles. And I realize that I have been partnering in the last month with anxiety. I have been partnering with the sense of like hopelessness, with frustration, with failure. I've just felt like a complete failure as a parent. And I've just like settled. I've just been like, oh, the season of COVID, the season of like flexibility where the school will just tell us one day in advance what they're doing and I can't color coordinate my diary like I like it to be. All of these things are just freaking me out and I'm partnering with it. And as I'm dealing with all of this and I'm sitting down to have my quiet time last week, the Lord takes me to Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6 and it says this: The Lord your God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough in the land. Break camp and advance. And I want to say to us today that as I read that, I felt God say to me, Justine, you have stayed long enough in this place of feeling frustrated, of feeling, oh, COVID, what have you done to me? You're ruining my world. You're ruining my life. You're ruining my organization. You're ruining the way I like to do things. Blaming, waiting. When COVID is over, when I can do this, when I can do that, when we are allowed to be here and go there and have these people. And God said to me, no, right here, right now, I'm calling you to break camp and advance. And I want to say to every single one of us, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what has happened to you over the last 18 months. And I know it's real. I know it's real. But I really believe that God is saying to us tonight, it is time. It is time to break camp and advance. And last Sunday, as I was sitting in church, and there was this guy that was preaching, and he just read this one scripture, and he carried on reading and preaching, but the scripture just stuck in my mind, and I couldn't get it out. And it's from Genesis 26, verse 1. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land." And verse 12, it says, "Isaac planted crops in that land the same year and reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him." You could say, now there was COVID in the land and Isaac planted. Friends, I want to ask you, when I was just sitting there and I was just feeling like God saying to me, you have stopped sowing. You have gone on to pause mode. And I want to say to you tonight, and I want to say to myself, and I feel like God is saying to us at this time, that it is time to break camp and advance, but it is also time to plant seeds. It is time to plant seeds, no matter what the season, no matter if it's a famine in the land, if there's COVID in the land, no matter what the ground looks like, friends, we are called as God's people to plant seeds. So with this in mind, it's time to break camp, it's time to advance, and it's time to plant. I want to take a look at Isaiah 52. We're going to read through this scripture, pull out three things, and I'm trusting that the Lord is going to minister to us tonight. Yes? He's with us. So Isaiah 52, verse 1, it says, "Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." I want to say the first thing that we need to do, if we are going to break camp in advance, if we are going to plant seeds, we need to wake up. Awake. Awake, Isaiah says here. Awake. I don't know if you've ever tried to wake up a teenager. I've got a 13-year-old boy and go, "My boy, it's time to wake up. Up you get." You guys are, "Wake up! Get up, my boy! You've been sleeping for too long. It's time to get out of the bed." And for some of us, we've gone into a spiritual slumber. For some of us, we've been sleeping for so long. And the word of the Lord for you tonight is, wake up! Get up! It's time to rise. It's time to get out of your bed and do things for the Lord. My middle son, Zach. Hey, he's so precious. I love this boy. All my children love sport. They play so many different sports. It drives me all over. But Zach, for about 2 years, playing cricket. There's been one family member from one of the teams who has, I'm just going to keep going. You guys good? Okay. This one family member from one of the boys in his team has continued to call my son out. Maybe it's our surname. It just sounds good. But he'll be like, "Wake up, Wimble. Run, Wimble. Hit the ball, man, Wimble." And for a year, he would just shout like this on the sideline at my son again and again. And I could just see, like, my little boy just feeling so, like, oh, insecure and feeling like he didn't know, like, what he was doing. And there's this man just shouting down at him, "Wake up, move it, keep going, what you doing?" And everything in me as a mother just wanted to go in there and just give him a good old kick, you know. But I'm married to a pastor, so he kept me nice and tame. And so I would always, sometimes I got the chance to give him a good old stare, which I did. But we're at this particular match, and we were playing, and number one batsman goes out, and number two batsman goes out, and number three batsman goes out, and my little boy goes in, number five. And I can see he's thinking like, oh, they're chasing a score, it's a big score, and I can just see he's just like, oh, I can't do this, or whatever. And he hits a ball, and he runs, and he turns over the wicket, and he hits another ball, and he runs. And slowly but surely, his little score goes from 3 to 10. Suddenly, he finds himself in the 20s. And I can see suddenly, he's not this little insecure. I can see he's starting to be like, man, maybe I've got this. Maybe I know this cricket thing. And the man who normally stands at the sideline shouting, "Wake up, Wimble. What you doing, Wimble?" has suddenly become quiet. And we go on, and the wickets keep falling, and we get to the last over, the last ball. There's no more wickets in hand, and my son is still in. There's two boys, they're playing, they've got to get two runs off the last ball. My son is facing, and all I can think of is, Jesus, please help my little boy. I know God doesn't have favorites, but I will still pray. And as that ball was bowled, my son hit it, and it went for a four. And I'm telling you, there wasn't anyone more ballistic in that place than me, because I could just see for my son, for the first time in his little cricket career, he had this thought, maybe I can do it. Maybe I'm not so bad. And the voice that had been telling him, wake up, what you doing, you stupid, suddenly was silenced. And I felt tonight that there's some of us in our lives, we've had voices on the sidelines of our lives telling us, just be quiet. Just go back to bed. Just, you're not worthy. You don't know your stuff. You're not knowledgeable enough. You don't have it. And I want to say tonight that you've got a Father in heaven that is saying the complete opposite over you. He's saying over you, wake up, get up. I've called you. You've got this. You can do all things with me and through me. The question is what is it that we see? What is it that we are looking at? Our youngest son has worn glasses since he was 13 months old. And he's got to the stage where, when he was 8, he just was so frustrated with playing sport and glasses and them misting up. And he came to us and he said, I want contacts. I'm desperate for contacts. So we got him contacts, and then about 2 months into the contacts, COVID happened. And so now, the little guy was wearing his contacts with a mask, so stoked they didn't have to deal with the mask and the glasses. But I saw how my youngest son valued sight. He didn't care what it took. He wanted to see. He didn't care if he had to spend hours learning, put it in, take it out, put it in, take it out, wash your hands, get a system, work it out. My son would have done anything because he was desperate to learn and desperate to work out how to see. And we need to place value on what we are seeing. What is it that we see? You see, the things that we see determine everything about actually who we are and where we go. What we look at determines what comes into us and where we end up. If we carry on, I'm getting myself a little bit ahead of myself here. Sorry. Okay, I'm getting myself ahead of myself. Sorry. Let me go back here. So, we dealt with Isaiah, wake up. So I've told everyone we need to wake up, yes? Okay, carrying on now, I'm going to Isaiah 52. We're reading the next bit, which is Isaiah 7. Okay, and it says here, sorry, I actually jumped ahead of myself there. My pages were getting me confused. Okay, just hang in here with me, sorry. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. The first thing we've got to do if we are going to break camp in advance and if we are going to plant seeds is that we need to wake up. The second thing we've got to do is we need to start shining. God has called us to shine. And that's where my story of my little Benji comes in, is that what we look at will determine the level of what our shine is. When Moses went up the hill to be with the Lord, he came back and he was glowing. Why? Because he had seen Jesus face to face. He had been with God. He had seen him. This scripture says here, how beautiful are the mountains, are the feet of those who bring good news. When I was praying for Equip, I got this picture of boots that were filled with flowers. Just many, many boots filled with flowers. And God's saying, when we take the gospel, when we take the good news into places, into our work environments, into our homes, into our friendship circles, when we take the gospel of Jesus Christ, we bring life. We're taking the life, the blood of Jesus. We're taking everything. We're taking eternity to people. We're offering that to them when we proclaim the gospel. It says here, proclaim salvation. So proclaim peace. Bring good tidings. Proclaim salvation. We are called, friends, to proclaim peace. We are called to proclaim peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, that he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if we, I don't know about you, but so often I think, why am I lacking peace? Why am I feeling so anxious or worried or whatever? It's because I've taken my eyes off the Prince of Peace. If we are going to shine bright, we need to value what we look at. We need to value what we are staring at. We need to put our focus on the Prince of Peace. And we'll be bringing that peace into our situations. Often you hear kids say, we're having such bad nightmares. If you get to the root of it, why? It's because they've been watching terrible movies. You deal with people in marriages and their marriages are going through tough times. And you speak to them and you get to the root of it and they've been watching pornography. It is true. What we expose ourselves to, what we watch, what we let in through our sight is what determines our shine. It's what determines whether we're going to be proclaiming peace to those people around us. We are called to bring good tidings. Good tidings is like an old-fashioned saying for bring good news. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear bad news, I'm the first to be like, oh, my word. Mark, did you hear what happened the other day down the road there? I can't believe it. And we're so quick to share the bad stuff. We're so quick to hang on to the things that go wrong. But what about good tidings, friends? What about the things that are encouraging? If we start to do that in our environments, you watch and you see how people will be drawn to you because you're not bringing down, you're lifting up. I was setting up for our equip at our venue, and look, they've been predicting rain. Lord, I don't know why it always rains over these times, especially for people like us who rely on some outdoor venues for some entertainment. But anyway, I was setting up, and I'd looked at the weather, and it had said there was going to rain from 7:30. So I was like, we're going to set up, everyone's going to come, they're going to have a lack of chow, good social, and then while we're in the meeting, we can put all our tables undercover. But at least when people arrive, it'll look nice, work well. And this one person who works in the venue where we meet walked past me and said, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. Ooh, I wanted to just take her and say, no ways. Have you looked at the weather? It says it's only going to rain then. And I just couldn't handle the negativity because it's not what God has called us to. In his kingdom, we are called to bring good tidings. It says there, carries on, it says there, we are called to proclaim salvation. We are called, friends, to hold out salvation. That's what Tyron was saying there. We are called to hold out salvation. We have become so seeker-sensitive. We so, like, don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to step on people's toes. Everyone has the right, and we want to respect everybody's right. And I get that. I don't know if you guys have done Strength Finder. I don't know if anyone knows that thing, but it, like, kind of does a character assessment of you. I have got something on Strength Finder called Woo, which is winning others over. I have got like a high sensitivity to how people are feeling in a room. So the last thing I want to do is put people on the back foot with the gospel. But Jesus has said here, we are called to proclaim salvation. We are called to proclaim salvation. What does it look like? No, it doesn't necessarily mean we've got to stand on that soapbox and just shout and scream. But maybe it does mean we need to rise up. Maybe it does mean we need to make some adjustments in our own lives, get some convictions, live a life that when people look at us, they can say, there's consistency there, there's righteousness there, there's holiness there, there's a difference there, there's something there. What is it? Mark and I, the other day, were invited to my son's friend's father's birthday. And we know these guys well, but they are very worldly. And we said, we'll just go for like the first hour and a half, because after that we knew it would get absolutely wild. So Mark and I went, and it was getting wild. So after we got to the hour and a half mark, and we then said to the guys, thanks so much for having us. We're going to be on our way. And as we were leaving, the host, the guy whose birthday it was, put his arm around my husband and said to everyone, there's about 40 people there, hey guys, this is my pastor. And this guy was filled with the Spirit, not the Spirit of the Lord, but another spirit. And he said, this is my pastor. He says, I love this guy. Now, we never socialize with these guys. We never spend any time with these guys. We are on the side of a rugby field, connections. So, Mark was just standing there, like, hoping he doesn't vomit. And then he says, I want to tell you guys something. He said, 3 years ago, my mom died. He said, I drank 6 cases of whatever. He said, I staggered out of that hospital. He said, where were all of you guys? He says, I tell you who was there. My pastor was there. My pastor was there in the parking lot with his Seattle for me after my 6 cases of beer. And yeah, and Mark and I, we left that party and we were like shaking our heads. We're like, oh my goodness. But you know what was so beautiful? Is that Mark and I didn't go to that party proclaiming the gospel. But God uses our lives and uses the drunk man to proclaim something of God's character to all the other drunk people in the room. That's how God works. That is God's intention for us as the church, is to be awake, is to be alive, and to be amongst people. The only reason why we are still on this earth is to shine, is to affect people around us. Else God would have taken us up long ago. The day that we gave our heart to Him, He would have taken us up to heaven. But we are here to shine and be the difference in the world around us. Isaiah 52 verse 11 to 12 says, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, come out from it and be pure. You who carry the vessels of the Lord, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Friends, there's something else. If we are going to take ground and we are going to plant seeds, and I mentioned it earlier, and I think Tyron also touched on it, but we as the people of God, we are called to live a life of otherness. I don't know how else to describe it. Other than that, is that we are called to live a life of otherness. We are called to be separate. We are called to not be like the world. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. Stan actually came and preached at our church last night, and he preached about holiness. And I see you've got this massive sign here, holy. But if you look in the history, whenever revival breaks out, there is a hunger in the people of God to live holy and righteous lives. And I want to encourage us all tonight that if we are going to touch people's lives, we need to start seeking after this life of righteousness, this life of holiness, this life of otherness. Now you might say to me, you know what, Justine, that's not 100% true, because Paul said, to the Greeks I'm like a Greek, to the Jew I'm like the Jews, I'm all things to all men. But I want to tell you that did not compromise holiness or righteousness. He might have been with the Greeks, but he was righteous. He might have been with the Jews, but he was righteous. Friends, in your marriages, I want to encourage you, get conviction. Get conviction on how you love each other. Get conviction on how you're raising your children. Get conviction on how you do life, on the way that you run your home, on the way that you are setting your path. Because when we live with conviction, it's easy to say no to things and it's easy to say yes to things. If we don't live with conviction, when something confronts us, we're like, oh, do we go with this or don't we go with this? This thing of peer pressure. I always thought peer pressure, that's the teenagers. Those lighties in the back having a jaw. They're the ones that suffer with peer pressure. But it's not true. On Monday night, we were at a rugby dinner and I was shocked. Most people came in there saying, guys, it's Monday night, eh? No drinking, no drinking, Monday night. I was horrified. There was not one person there who didn't drink besides Mark and myself. I was like, what happened to this? People live with no conviction. I'm not making a comment on drinking. I'm making a comment on live with conviction. Know what your standards. Know where you want to go and know where you want to live. God has called us to be set apart. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Living with conviction isn't always easy. Living with conviction actually sometimes is hard. A few weeks ago, one of our kids was invited to a birthday party, and I had committed to lifting some of the children to this birthday party. And this party had two stages: touch rugby at Crusaders, and then back to the house for a braai and swim. So I said to Mom, I'm happy to help lift children, but in the interim of the day starting and the party beginning, my son had crossed two or three barrier lines that we had said, those are no-go zones. Those are things that we don't do in this house. And Mark said, my boy, you're not going to the party. And I was like, you can't do that, because this family has just joined our church and I've committed to lifting children to the party and Jamie must be there. But I was quiet, and then I took Mark aside and I was like, I don't know if we can do this. And Mark was like, no. We said, if this happens, the consequence, there's got to be a consequence. His consequence is no party. Oh, anyway, so my son phoned a friend to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make the party. And then my husband phoned the dad, and they've just joined our church. And the dad said, no, man, Jesus forgives, Mark. You must forgive your son. You must bring him. And Mark was like, no, it's very true. Maybe I'll bring him to the second phase. So anyway, I went and lifted children, and all of them were like, where's your son? I said, oh, maybe you'll see him later, or maybe you won't. I don't know. Anyway, come on, guys, let's go. And so difficult. But can I tell you something? That family are still in our church, praise the Lord. And that man, I can't tell you how many times he's phoned Mark to ask for advice. He doesn't know what to do. How can he help with this issue in his family? Or what decision should he make here? And can I tell you something else? The children, they have all forgotten that my son missed half the party. I don't think my son has forgotten, but all those other children, they have forgotten. Friends, when we live a life of conviction, it's not always easy. But God honors it because he gets the glory. God honors it. God makes a way. In concluding this evening, I started off with those two scriptures that God is calling us. It is time. It's time to break camp, and it's time to sow seeds. It's time for us as a church in Durban to do this, but it's also time for us as individuals. What is the calling that God has over your life? What are the areas where you need to break camp in your life? What are the areas where you need to start sowing seeds again? I want to end with this last two stories. As I got saved at the age of 13 at One Life Church, which was then called NCF, and it was led by Ray and Moira Oliver. And at the front of our church on the side, we had this vision statement back in those days, 1990-something. And it said there, our vision for 1999, I think it was, is, it is harvest time. And we're like, woo, awesome, it is harvest time. Next year came around, 2000, the fresh vision came out. And you know what it said? It is still harvest time. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. 2001, it says, it just stayed the same. It is still harvest time. And then we took the board down because we knew it's not a seasonal thing. It is always harvest time. And friends, the thing that I feel God is wanting to stir within us and give us such a passion is for his harvest. It's for the lost. Is that the reason why we exist, the reason why we are here, the reason why you're in Durban at this time and at this point is because God has got boundaries for you to push. God has got seeds for you to sow. Some of you are going to sow. Some of you are going to water. Some of you are going to reap. But God is calling absolutely every single one of us, from the tiny tots to the oldies, to be active in his kingdom, in sowing, in proclaiming his gospel. And we do that, friends, by the way we live. We do that by the way we interact with people, by holding our line, by living for Jesus, by making sure our focus is always on him. It's time. It's time for the harvest. my last story that I want to share with you, which is very recent, and I'm really praying about this, so I will let you guys know next time I see anybody, you can ask me. But on Sunday afternoon last week, I got a message from the one mom who is part of, she's a sports mom, very unchurched, very unsaved, very, very hardcore. In fact, she did that fighting, but with men. She's hectic. She's hardcore. Okay? And but a heart of gold. Like, seriously, the most stunning lady. And anyway, she sends me this message, and all it says, she calls me sweetheart. Sweetheart, what time is church next week? I was like, oh, wow. This is unbelievable. Normally, it's like a sporting question or an injury question, but this is about church. I was like, I can't believe this. So, as of last week, we were still having two church services, but now we are in level one. We can actually rejoice about that. Yes, woo! And so we are, so at that time, I messaged her. I said, we have an half past eight service, and we've got a 10 service. And she said, we'll be there half past eight. I couldn't believe it. Monday night, I told you we had that rugby dinner. She was there. And Mark and I had to leave early because we actually are ordaining some deacons tonight at Equip. And so we had a meeting with some of them at our house. So we're checking out of the dinner. We're saying, bye, guys. Nice to be with you. Thank you. Oh, Lord, help them get home. And she shouts above everybody. She says, hey, are you going to a cell group? So, and she's also quite filled with the spirits. And I say to her, no, we're not going to a cell group. We just got some people over. I'm trying to just be normal. And she says, oh, okay. I want you to know, she shouts this above everyone. I want you to know, I'm coming to your church on Sunday, but I won't ever come to a cell group. And all I could think of was, she's doing the same thing that other guy did. She's shouting and telling everyone about something that they should all be doing, coming to church. And it makes people think and it makes people wonder. And all I can think of is, when she comes to church, oh Lord, which connect group should we put her in? Her and her family. But that is the excitement of the gospel, friends. And you know what? It is an adventure. And I feel like that is what God is extending to us tonight. Are you keen to come on an adventure? Are you keen to advance in my kingdom, to break ground? Are you keen to sow seeds? Come. Come. It is an adventure. You'll never regret it. And it's beautiful to work with the Holy Spirit and to do what we are here on this earth to do. Yes, we need to make money. Yes, we need to look after our families. But more than all of that, we are here to advance His kingdom. Thanks, Mark.